It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Paul Feinbaum, where have I heard that name? Anyway, good morning, Paul Feinbaum. How are you?
Oh, gosh. It's been such an uneventful couple of days since I spoke to you last.
We wondered about that. So anyway, we're going to try to keep it at football right now, just so you can relax and talk about kind of more of a pastime, okay?
Well, let's talk about something I actually know something about, college football.
Yeah, we know how much you want to turn to political talk right now, but we've got a lot of important football games to talk about. And kind of as we do every week, Paul, we enjoy your insight so much, but we had some great games this past weekend.
Didn't we, though?
And even some games we didn't think would be great ended up going down to the wire and then some. But I know, Dan, you were every single play locked into that Bama-Georgia matchup.
Paul, I'll tell you what, I can't even be mad. I mean, that was such a great performance by Alabama. Of course, I went to the University of Georgia, but just a great game. And for Ty Simpson to go into that place, and that was the madhouse, and play so well, and the execution by the Alabama team, I mean, you got to give it up. I thought Georgia played pretty well overall, but Bama was, they were the better team.
They were the better team. And I think that from the very beginning of the game, I kept saying to someone watching it with me, Georgia doesn't look like they belong on the same field. Now, I know it tightened up. That's always going to happen with a Kirby Smart coach team with adjustments, but that was not a fluke. I mean, last year was a little bit fluky, but Ty Simpson was just unreal, Heisman-esque. And what we all joked about 3 weeks ago and 2 weeks ago, maybe ULM and Wisconsin were the preview. Those were not outliers. Mm-hmm. That was an Alabama team that did not look like it did against Florida State. Alabama would crush Florida State right now.
How about this, Dalton, this stat? And you may be aware of this, Paul. Kalen DeBoer against Kirby Sark, and who's the other big
is
one?
It Kiffin, or who is it?
No, there's one more. Anyway, he's 7-0 against them.
Wow.
Kalen DeBoer against Kirby and Sark and maybe one other. So when he wants to get the big win, Paul, he's more than capable.
He really is. You can't sugarcoat his issues. I mean, they're pretty self-explanatory, but all you can really do is look at what he's accomplished. I'm probably more impressed with him bringing this team back after Florida State than anything on the contrary to what he hasn't accomplished. And it takes a great deal to have that bad of an opener and have everyone, from me on down or me on up, taking shots and then just simply saying, you know what, we're going to figure this out. And they did.
It's Lanning. Lanning.
Oh, okay.
And when he was out at Oregon and Washington, Lanning and
Lanning, and Sark, and Kirby.
Yep.
Right.
7-0.
Wow. That's impressive. Paul, turning to another game, I believe it was the wise Vols fan Morgan Wallen who once said, the boys still lose unless they're playing at home. And Tennessee on the road, I mean, he wasn't joking in that song. They do lose when they play on the road, or at least traditionally that's how it's been in big games. And Mississippi State, of course, they've had massive troubles these last couple of years. Heupel, after the game, said good road win against a good road team, or a good team. Tennessee needed that, but that came down to the wire against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, that was really a tough and very close call. And it looked like Mississippi State was going to win that game. For all the things Tennessee did wrong at the end of the Georgia game, they were able to do right. And just think about where that program would be today if they had lost that game. They're still alive. I think they're still a really good team. I know it's easy to praise Mississippi State, but because that program has come so far back. But let's not forget Tennessee. I mean, that was a remarkable win on the road.
Mm-hmm. And as far as Joey Aguilar, and he's not really being mentioned much among the Heisman contenders, even though he has the most passing yards in the SEC. My main worry with him going into the season was the turnovers from that last season at App State. But this weekend, the turnovers looked like they should have been caught, and they ended up going the other way. Aguilar, he can carry this team pretty far, but it seems like his floor could be pretty low too.
Yeah, I think that he's going to have to beat somebody significant to get back in the Heisman race, but that's in front of him. He's got Fred Alabama in about 3 weeks, in case anybody hasn't noticed.
Hey, I've got a Heisman name for you, and he was second string when the season began. His name is Trinidad Chambliss. Ole Miss putting your buddy Brian Kelly in another bad mood on a Monday.
Brian Kelly told me Monday that he said, I'm really angry. I said, well, what do you, he said, I'm angry at myself. I'm like, well, this is going to be, I feel like I was a psychiatrist doing self-analysis. I don't really want to hear a coach angry after the game. I want to hear a coach angry before the game. Have you, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. They're struggling, and I don't know why. I'm not quite sure. They've got the defense straightened out. Now the offense is in the tank. And do you make of LSU? Good, Dalton. What do you think?
Well, I was going to say, Paul, you know, after the game, Kelly mentioned Nussmeier. He said Nussmeier has to play better, but they're not able to run the ball either. They had 57 yards in that game rushing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, by the way, none of us should be surprised by the way LSU played. They ended up beating Clemson and Florida, which neither has, I think they combined have six losses between them.
True.
So,
you're
let's
right.
go back to when Brian Kelly was asked a couple weeks ago about his lack of running game, and he blew up at the reporter. Looked like that reporter was pretty smart.
As it turns out now, yeah.
And to just this last game, to recap last week, Hugh Freeze's offense looking like it did last year. And 176 yards of offense, 0 for 12 on third down. Jackson Arnold's been sacked 14 times in the last two games. And A&M didn't look amazing, but they beat Auburn 16-10. And Hugh Freeze having to answer for that offense again.
Yeah, that's in many ways the biggest story in the state right now is what's happening at Auburn and can it be fixed? And I don't think it can. You are what your quarterback says you are, and Auburn's got the worst quarterback in the SEC right now.
Well, that might be 2 years in a row or close to it, and it's a different guy. So this is one they handpicked. That's even a higher indictment, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, I think it's actually 3 years in a row, but who's counting? this is Hugh Freeze's guy. He went out and spent the money in the portal and disregarded what happened at Oklahoma, and it's a problem. And it's also a bigger problem, guys, when your offensive line cannot block. Yeah. I mean, it's been a disaster.
Yeah,
sure has. Looking forward to tomorrow, and not as many big games on the schedule, but you can't say that in Tuscaloosa because they have a revenge game in mind. And normally this would be a flat spot for the Tide after Georgia. And
they can't afford to be flat.
They can't. Number 16, Vanderbilt coming to town. Diego Pavia. I saw Johnny Money Manziel saying he's going to be wearing a Pavia jersey on the Vandy sideline. There's a guy who gave the Tide some issues back in the day. What do you make of this game coming up?
I'm going to try not to sound exactly like I did a year ago when I told you this is not going to be close and Alabama is going to roll. But I have learned from my mistakes. I will not make that campaign promise. But but ultimately, I really don't. I don't see it being that close. I know what everybody's saying, but to me, this is a different Alabama team. They're not letting up. They learned, and it's so. To me, it's the easiest game to repair that Kalen DeBoer has had. He said, "Listen, we screwed up last year. We're not doing that again." And I think it helped the game day and all the attention on the game is not going to allow that to happen.
You know, Kentucky's at Georgia this year, and I've been trying to school Dalton on the history of these teams. Kentucky often plays Georgia very, very tough. I've got no problem with the Georgia Bulldogs. They're young. They've got some holes, but they've got. I think they play hard. I think they're a pretty good team. I mean, I'm okay with Georgia not dominating football and just representing themselves well. And I think they generally do.
I think they are potentially a really good team. And I was with Kirby Smart Friday on our show, and he said I'm really excited about this defense. Now, what do you mean by that as a coach? You've got young guys, they're developing, they're getting better. And if you look at the second half of that game, if Kirby Smart hadn't screwed up, Georgia very likely would have won the game.
Yeah,
tied the game.
They came close.
So, I mean, the defense was excellent in the second half. I think you take something from that. Alabama was a better team, but Georgia's biggest game of the year won't be against Kentucky. I think it very well could be at Auburn next week, because that's going to be a must game, a must win for both teams. And it will be far more difficult for Georgia to go on the road, especially to Jordan-Hare, as inept as Auburn has been, than it will be Saturday morning against Kentucky.
Agreed.
Yeah, and we'll see if that week off for Auburn helps them against Georgia, or if it just gave Hugh Freeze another week to screw him up further, I guess.
make golf plans.
I swear, I thought I saw him late Sunday in the Ryder Cup. Maybe I was missing something. I don't know.
You know, we might have performed better. No, maybe not. U.S. Ryder Cup team did have that strong comeback. At the beginning of the year, Texas-Florida, that had the potential to be a top five matchup. Obviously, Florida hasn't performed to the ceiling they could have. A lot of people asking if Arch is ready for some road SEC play. Remember, he had that Ohio State game at the beginning of the year. But what do you make of number 9 Texas hitting the road to Gainesville? And how important is this win for Billy, or this game for Billy Napier?
Well, I think everything right now is a referendum on Billy Napier. This would, by my account, be, I think, the 4th straight loss. So when that starts to happen, your AD starts to look up and see how Arkansas handled Sam Pittman, because Billy Napier's firing couldn't be very far away.
Do you think Arch starts to figure it out, or are you giving him a longer leash than a lot of the fans who expected him to come out and play like Eli or Peyton?
I'm going to stay with Arch. I'm no longer saying he's the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, but Saturday will be a great chance for him with 4 or 5 games under his belt to look good, and I expect him to do so.
Well, it's Friday, Paul, but this is not the first time that you've been mentioned on the station this week. Thank you for colliding with other sources and other parts of our programming, including the news. Best of luck this weekend. I guess you're in Tuscaloosa, huh?
No, actually, we have to go to Gainesville. They decided to get me out of the state of Alabama for a couple of days.
Probably great political move for your own safety, Paul.
Paul, we appreciate your time once again, and looking forward to talking next week.
Always, guys. Thank you very much.
Paul Finebaum. Yeah. Football Fridays with Finebaum, presented by Bryant Bank. And, he's been the center of the discussion in so many ways this week.
He has been, and he's wearing it well, wouldn't you say? Wearing it with humor, even though it's a very big decision for him. And it seems like it's real. I don't know. Yeah. It seems like he was handpicked, or at least to consider by some of the most important people politically in the U.S. and in the state of Alabama. That's a heavy thing to wear.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, he seems to be wearing it just fine.
I know,
like
he does.
Maybe we'll talk about that more.
Maybe he can have us on it as pages if we have ratings woes at FM Talk.
How are you at getting coffee for people? I don't know.
Pay me, right? I'm really good.
Paul Finebaum, Football Fridays presented by Bryant Bank. Once again, thank you so much to the team at Bryant Bank for helping to make this happen. And, looking forward to some football tomorrow. How are you feeling, Bama fans? Let us know on the text line, 251-343-0106. I don't ask this often. Give us a score. Yeah. Are they going to run it up against Vanderbilt, or are they in for a tough fight? More Mobile Mornings on the way with Dana Dalton. Thank you, Kane. 824 now on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Thank you to Paul Finebaum. Football Fridays with Finebaum presented by Bryant Bank. And a lot of football. Very exciting weekend on the way. The high school games tonight. And then we get into some college and, of course, the pro stuff and baseball all weekend, too, starting tomorrow. Underdog will be there with you for all of it if you download the app. And football season is in full swing. Underdog, the best place to get in on all the action. You can select entries and win money right now in Alabama, and it's very easy to play on Underdog. Just choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats. In football, stats like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns. Of course, you have your baseball stats when you're picking from those games. And before long, basketball, hockey, right around the corner. Get your entries right. You could win up to 5,000 times your cash. And I have a blast playing Underdog, not just during those college Saturdays and pro Sundays, but all week long. Download the Underdog app today. Sign up with promo code Dalton. That's D-A-L-T-O-N. You'll score $100 in bonus funds or entries when you play your first $5.
That's the Underdog app with promo code Dalton. Underdog, make plays, win money. Must be 19 plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. And if you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Not that I want you to watch a college game rather than our game at St. Paul's with the St. Paul's and
Gulf Shores.
Gulf Shores. Talented team, Gulf Shores.
Yeah.
A well-coached team, too. But I guess there's college games on tonight, too. That's the way it's been now. They're kind of drifting into mm-hmm. Friday.
Yeah.
They did a little Thursday, and now they've got Friday games as well, and usually a late game when I get home, I can check it out.
They do the Wednesday games also, like in Maction. I thought Maction started a lot earlier, but I haven't seen any Wednesday games yet this year.
No, I haven't either.
But
My TV watching is completely different than what it was, so I don't know. A lot of YouTube for me.
So let's talk a little bit about this shutdown, and not so much the, like, I know everyone freaking out, when's it going to reopen? And we get hammered with texts like, you know, it's not a real shutdown. Congress is getting paid, blah, 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 blah. Well, there are people being furloughed. And I think the important thing to keep an eye on here is how many people end up eventually being permanently cut, because that kind of, it does play right into Trump's hands.
Blood's on the Democrats' hands on that one. Mm-hmm. They decided to do this, and knowing that that could happen. And now it's beginning to happen. I know he met with Vought, and they're looking over who needs to go.
Mm-hmm. So, and yesterday they huddled up, like they said, and 750,000 federal employees furloughed during the shutdown. The part that bothers me, feds are going to be spending money regardless. I think the CBO said $400 million a day is what it costs. But Trump yesterday hopping on Truth Social, and he said as early as today, they're expected to announce some of these terminations, and it would hit hardest at Democrat agencies. And I don't know if that was necessary for Trump to put that in the Truth Social post, because tell me which of the agencies don't lean Democrat, yeah, right?
No.
But specifically the Education Department and the Environmental Protection Agency, and I think also taking a more critical look at the FDA as well. But Katie Britt, you know, she popped up in the news yesterday as well, because so many folks get upset that Congress still gets paid through all this. And we kind of went through that yesterday, what it says in the Constitution. But Britt formally requesting, Senator Britt, formally requesting that her salary be withheld until an agreement is reached. In a letter, so she wrote a letter, the old-fashioned way, I guess, here, to Senate Financial Clerk Ted Ruckner. Britt cited the continued pay for senators despite furloughs affecting federal workers and military personnel, posted the letter on social media, and urged her Democratic colleagues to follow suit. We'll see if any have or will. Congressman Dale Strong echoed Senator Britt's sentiment, stating that House Republicans passed a clean resolution and accused Democrats of using the shutdown to push partisan priorities. And so they're trying to show a little solidarity here. I wonder if it's just, I mean, it does seem kind of like moralizing to me. And you know, all of their assistants, I guess, their staff.
Pages and all that, yeah.
Now, they're without pay.
They're not getting paid.
Unless they're in some kind of specific, I guess, portion of the government that continues to get paid. But they'll get that back pay. It doesn't mean that they all have the money to make it through.
But they'll get it eventually. Right? And I thought this was interesting that Hakeem Jeffries yesterday, quote, federal law prohibits the use of Medicare, Medicaid, and children's health insurance program and the Affordable Care Act to provide health insurance in any way, shape, or form to undocumented immigrants, period, full stop. That's the law, and Democrats aren't trying to change that. That pretty much contradicts what other Democratic House members have been saying about aid to the, to the undocumented immigrants.
Well, and Representative Maxine Waters stepping in a little bit in a protest on, I don't know what steps. There were some steps behind her.
Yeah.
And she was asked, you know, she said everybody should have health care. Illegals, everybody. And that everyone's sharing that clip, too, of the presidential primary debate where everyone raised their hands when asked if illegals should have U.S. health care. Day 34 now, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. We'll be joined by Ben Murphy here in just a minute. But first, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata, getting ready for the weekend. Hey, Louie.
Football season is here. Car selling season is here. Man, we got a great thing going on this weekend. Going to have all the TVs blaring and watching all the football games. Going to have great deals on pre-owned and new cars. I mean, check everything out online, McConnellAutomotive.com. Got any questions? Call us, 251-476-4141.
And you do have such a great selection, not just the wide selection of the pre-owned vehicles, which is always growing and changing on the lot, but also those new 26 models are out there, and some of them are looking real sharp.
That's right. We're getting, actually, dealer-traded a 26 AT4 Yukon. So anybody looking for a four-wheel drive Yukon, it's gray in color. I'm sitting here looking at it. It is pretty, and it's a 26. So come by and see us.
All right. Yeah, it's the weekend to come by. And do I understand this correctly? Are you and you and Dan have pink slips on the line for next week's Georgia-Auburn game? Is that what
what have we got?
Whoever wins gets the others right.
Hey, I went to the Auburn-Oklahoma game, and that was my last Auburn football game for the year. So we'll let Dan go to that one.
Yeah, when I lived in Columbus, Georgia, I would go to that game in Auburn. That was always a big problem over there. I can tell you that. That's a great home field advantage for Auburn for sure.
Hey, Louis,
Gump's already wearing Auburn's orange stuff right now.
Louis, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thank y'all.
Louis Arata, go see him. He's at McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Strength in Alabama homes. That is a term that you hear spoken on FM Talk 106.5 more than time to time, and it's got to do with our guest, Ben Murphy.
Yes, and you know, a couple years will be 10 years of that program, and Ben Murphy has been along for the ride the entire time with the Strength in Alabama Homes since its inception in 2017. Ben, thanks for coming in. We always appreciate when you drop by.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all?
We're good. So, and it's been a couple quarters. I don't know if it started at the beginning of the year. Yeah, when they kind of moved the deadline time and split it up between Mobile and Baldwin County residents, used to be fairly difficult. But you know, people were hopping online at midnight the first Monday of the quarter and trying to get in on that grant program. So it's up to $10,000 towards a fortified roof. But they switched it around, thankfully, for so many folks. 9 a.m. And for Mobile residents, it'll be Tuesday, October 7th, and 9 a.m. on Thursday, October 9th for Baldwin County residents. That's a little easier to stomach instead of staying up all night.
Oh, yeah, sure. We got a lot of happier customers that way.
Yeah. So kind of if folks aren't aware, and then we'll get into what all is involved in applying for one of these grants. But tell folks what the Strength in Alabama Homes program is all about.
Yeah, so when it started, it was basically trying to make the roofs in coastal Alabama more resilient to high wind and hurricane events. So the IBHS developed this fortified program, which basically works on the secondary water barrier. So basically, if your roof were to blow off, keep water from intrusion, keep insurance costs down. Insurance company doesn't want to pay to have your drywall replaced if it can fix it, you know, in the early on. So with that happened, then the state mandated some insurance savings and started this grant program with, you know, insurance company money. And it sure took off in 2017 when it started.
So it all have to do with insurance? Is that where what it all came down to at the very beginning of it to try and tamp down those insurance costs?
Yeah, so the insurance
for the customer and the company?
Yeah, so the insurance company basically said, hey, I'd rather give you
$10,000
now than $100,000, you know, a claim.
They were so just
hedging their bet.
They were doing good business.
Yeah, doing their business. And so, you know, it worked out. It's a good deal for everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been great for this area. I mean, a lot of customers have been served with this.
Yeah, I think it has been good.
Prevention over treatment.
Yep.
A good move there.
I think insurance is always for that.
Yeah, and we see other states, you know, that get hit with hurricanes as often or sometimes more often than our coast here on Alabama, in Alabama. And there's been issues. They don't have the same program or did not have the same program. Many more are adopting it now. And there became some real questions about whether you could even get insurance in some of these places. So it makes sense. And this has done so well in our state that other states have adopted it now.
Yeah, so, you know, Alabama was the first state to do it, and a lot of the other states modeled their programs completely after the Alabama program. Louisiana has a program. Mississippi had a program. It kind of stumbled a little bit, but hopefully in the first of the year, their program will get back rolling. North Carolina has a program. South Carolina, Kentucky, Arkansas, Oklahoma, they're all coming online.
What are the different levels of fortified? Because, you know, I'll see gold fortified. You see people describing their roofs differently. What kind of stages are there in this?
Yes, the gold fortified strictly deals with new construction.
Okay.
And it's load paths, structural load paths, plus everything in the silver and roof level. So you have to have all those levels to get to gold. Silver deals with impact protection, impact windows, garage doors, front doors, you know, any kind of opening in the house protecting it from windborne debris. The roof level deals with the secondary water barrier, the water intrusion. So, you know, every one of them builds on each to go forward.
You know, when I was unknowing, did not live in the area, you think of the coastal area as being the beach, period, right? And then you come to find out that coastal living is well up into Mobile and Baldwin County, not just the bay, but the rivers, Magnolia River to Fish River to Styx River. You got a lot of people living on those bodies of water that need to be concerned when a storm comes. Mm-hmm. How does a resident know if they qualify?
So if you own your home and your home is insured and you live in Mobile and Baldwin County.
That's it. Okay.
So one note coming up with Strengthen Alabama Homes, the silver program will no longer be served with the Strengthen Alabama Homes program.
Okay.
They ended that this quarter. So it's just the roof program.
But okay. They are making some changes too and opening it up to some other counties going forward.
Yeah. So November 4th, 9 a.m., Escambia County, Alabama, Tuscaloosa and Jefferson County, all of them open up.
We have people that listen to us all over. Is there any immediate talk of opening it up to other counties, or are they just sticking with these five for right now?
I think they're sticking with these five because they've still got that lump sum that they're kind of tied to amount. And, you know, Mobile, Baldwin County, they want to serve those, the coastal counties first, but they'll spread it out. It'll spread to other counties in years to come.
All right, so let's get into exactly how, and we're talking with Ben Murphy Roofing, Strengthen Alabama Homes grant program window opening up Tuesday, 9 a.m. for Mobile County residents, Thursday, 9 a.m. for Baldwin County residents. Is the best move, Ben, to turn your computer on at 8:57 a.m. on Tuesday morning, load up the browser, and then get after it, or do we need to have some stuff ready?
Well, no, I heard Dr. Bill say it'll be rain this weekend, so you might want to sit inside and when it rains and get your computer out and go ahead and log on, find out what documentation you need, go ahead and sign up for an account and be ready. And, you know, I suggest probably getting on it, 8:50 and sit there and with your refresh button or whoever's the computer whiz in your household, get them hitting it for you.
How long does the process take?
Probably 15 minutes.
Okay.
Once you
did
get
you
on.
Do it one time or did you?
When it was the midnight.
Yeah.
I tried a couple times. Yeah. One time I stayed up until 11:55 or something like that. Completely forgot about it. Fell asleep. But I have not made it through the process. Okay. It's something I'm still trying to do. Other than just filling out the profile, do you have to have insurance adjusters out looking at the home, or do you have to have any reports or anything?
Yeah, so
ready?
What'll happen is once you get your grant, they will you'll have a list of evaluators, which is a third party inspection company that'll come out.
So the grant comes first.
Grant comes, you'll get assigned a grant, so you have your grant. I mean, and then you have to hire a evaluator to come out and look at your house, do an assessment of what needs to be done. Then they'll upload it to the portal, and then you'll have a chance to select your contractors, and we get that documentation, then we'll come out and look at your house and submit a bid on your house.
What kind of window do you have to act once you do receive that grant? Do you have a certain amount of time where you have to, you know, get some work done?
You have to have 90 days to have everything completed and your certificate uploaded to the portal.
Okay. This has obviously worked out for so many people, and it keeps rolling along, and not just, you know, worked out that they got the grant and have the home, but you've seen these fortified roofs work. Specifically, I always think back to that, I forget which storm it was in Texas. You sent me a picture, and there was like one house standing in this entire neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, it's proven, especially, you know, Sally was our first real storm to hit a dense area that had fortified, you know.
Talk about that. So Sally comes. We know what Sally did. We knew how brutal that storm was in certain areas. So the storm eases away, and now in the light of day, and I remember that day itself was still bad, right? We weren't out of Sally yet.
That's right.
As the day went along. So let's say, just say the next day you're beginning to assess things. What did you see? What did you notice right away?
So, you know, having, you know, several houses in the Orange Beach area that, you know, had fortified roofs that we had done through Strengthen Alabama Homes, we had, you know, a beta test there. We had an actual event hitting houses that had been served with this program. And there's a neighborhood right there on Canal Road called Captain's Cove that mm-hmm. we had done quite a few houses in, and then there were some houses that weren't done. And the IBHS uses this picture nowadays. If you ever see the aerial with blue tarps and this house fortified, this one's not. Those were actually our houses. So it was, you know, neat to see it work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't control windblown debris, you know, trees, limbs, that sort of thing. If they puncture your roof, that's going to happen. You can't really fix that. But with the water intrusion, you know, everyone that we did, you know, survived great.
That's something.
Yeah.
Wow. I'd love to see that picture.
Yeah.
That would tell the story.
We're talking with Ben Murphy Roofing and the Strengthen Alabama Homes Grant Program opening up here soon. I also want to remind people while you're in the great work that you do at Ben Murphy Roofing and the Best of Baldwin, that competition with Gulf Coast Media. Yeah. They're gulfcoastmedia.com. That nomination period is open here. And you guys do such fantastic work. I talk about it all the time. And I love that you share the images on your Facebook page of the work you've done. That way, folks who are interested, they can get a good look at some of what you've already done.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of houses to look at. If you just want looking at a color that we do, that you can go look and see, hey, this is what the color might look like on my house. So it's
when just a kind of history question here. When did fortified start becoming a thing? Like, and I know you've told me in the past that they have testing facilities. I think a big one in South Carolina.
Yep.
But what I'm sure there was a genius somewhere some place that was like, hey, there's actually a pretty good way that we can really make these homes a lot safer.
Yeah, so 2011 was the first time that I actually got involved with it. And, of course, we had, you know, a lot of spinning the wheels, getting going. Nobody understood what it did. Since it was a new program, you know, the cost, nobody knew how much it cost. Nobody knew how much the labor was going to cost, the materials. Nobody stocked the materials down here.
So maybe they didn't know for sure how well it would work, too.
And I mean, it was kind of hocus pocus. Nobody knew, you know. And so, you know, that was really why Sally, it was not a good thing, but it was a good test for us to see that it worked.
Yeah.
And so, of course, it's just really just taken off since.
But people believe in it now, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's proven. I mean, it's a term that everybody down here knows, and hopefully soon statewide.
That's some good stuff. The Strengthen Alabama Homes program. So for folks who are interested, and I know a ton are, they have a really good website, strengthenalabamahomes.com. And I'm on it right now, just as I do every time the new quarter arrives. And they've got all the FAQs there. You said, you can hop on and go ahead and create your profile before next week when it's your turn to hop in and try to get one of those grants. And this program, I mean, you think it'll just keep on rolling? We've seen some success.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, it's been a great program. It's going to keep going until, you know, everybody's got a fortified roof in Mobile and Baldwin County.
When did you see the tide turn in terms of the popularity, the understanding that where the average person was like, you know what, this looks like, you know, because people have to be sold on it, correct?
Yeah.
So they've got to be sold on it. They have to think that it's worth the cost and it's actually going to work. When do you think that happened?
Right when the program's got going in 2017, that, hey, you know, there's free money out there for a roof, you know, and then, you know, everybody was not necessarily knowing what the program involved, but, hey, I got $10,000 for a roof.
Yeah.
Didn't know what the nuts and bolts of the program were and why. But since then, you know, there's 75,000 houses now that are fortified.
That's amazing. And, I mean, you talk about something that you're going to try that. Well, you know, you consider 15 years ago, we didn't know the term, right?
Yeah.
Then you introduce it in 17 into this. I mean, that's just that says a lot about the belief by the consumer, the insurance companies, and the fact that it works.
Well, I mean, especially you can ask realtors and insurance people, you know, fortified. You know, somebody's buying a house, Hey, yep. Is it fortified? Is it fortified gold? Where? Yep. What level is it? You know, they struggle with, you know, selling a house that isn't.
Interesting.
You know, if you got all things being equal, you got a house that has a fortified and one that doesn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when you look around on Zillow, it's one of the first things people normally put up on there. And now I've gotten to the point, and I just like browsing, right? And if I don't see that it says fortified.
Are you leaving us, Dalton?
No, not happening. And then after that story you had yesterday about how many more kids are moving into Baldwin County, I'm thinking, yeah, I think Mobile's looking like the place to stay for a little while. But so when I see that it's not a fortified roof, I make an audible sound of disgust. I go, oh, gosh, why would you even put that on the website? But I'm waiting for the first actual full neighborhood to be called, like, Fortified Lakes or something like that, where the entire neighborhood
is
fortified.
Well, this guy will be in the middle of it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Ben, you do great work. If folks are interested in finding out more about your company, what's the best way to get in contact?
Yeah, you can go to Facebook. Look us up on Facebook or our website, benmurphyco.com. And, and we look forward to helping anybody that we can with this.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for coming in, Ben. Thanks for spreading the word, and really congratulations on the business and also on this fortified roof initiative. It looks like it's sometimes things are introduced and they don't work. This works.
Yes, it does.
You know, if you freeze as a fortified roof?
Oh, man. Don't
any idea?
Trying to get them out of here without you doing that. It's 8:50. Freeze is a bad word right now.
Oh, yeah.
8:51, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.
8:55, Mobile Mornings, wrapping it up on a Friday. And I want to tell you about Tobias and Comer Law. Attorneys Desi Tobias, Brian Comer, and Lacey Smith, local personal injury lawyers, care a ton about just their clients, but the folks around here, where they live and work and play. And I wanted to kind of tie in this this child seat recall to this. Saw Evenflow, which makes me think of some Pearl Jam there. Evenflow. They're recalling nearly 325,000 of their Revolve 360 Slim car seats. They say due to a choking hazard linked to loose headrest foam. And I know this as a father of two young children. You can't leave anything that they can just pop in their mouth around.
So foam? The foam's coming out.
The foam, like, is popping off of
and
the
little children don't know any better but to
gnaw on it. Yeah, so they're recalling a ton of them here, 325,000. And we've had some great conversations I've had some great conversations with all of the attorneys there at Tobias & Comer Law, Desi, Brian, Lacey, and we've talked a lot about child car seats and to make sure that it's safe as possible for your kids. So there's a good way, not just with car seats, but sign up for any recall notices when you get something new, especially if you have a child involved. And then you won't need me to tell you. They'll tell you directly that something has been recalled. At Tobias & Comer Law, they're just great. They handle your case personally from day one until it's resolved. They don't hand you off to strangers. And they've got the experience to tackle everything from car crashes and boating mishaps to defective products, workplace injuries. They work a bunch of maritime claims as well. You can find out more about them on their website, TobiasComerLaw.com. That's also where we put the podcast, Law251. And if you want to call anytime for a free consultation, that number is 251-432-5001.
He's back. Kilmar Abrego Garcia, U.S. immigration judge on Wednesday denied a bid for asylum for Mr. Garcia, whose case has become a proxy for the partisan power struggle over immigration policy. The judge in Baltimore Immigration Court denied an application to reopen Abrego Garcia's 2019 asylum case, but that is not the final word. Abrego Garcia has 30 days to appeal to the Board of Immigration Appeals, so there you go.
Man.
This case keeps kind of marching on.
Worldwide celebrity he has become.
It's true.
A quick look at the text line, and we have, and thank you, Jesse, perfect Pearl Jam impersonation. Nailed it. Jeff Porcho coming up, and I'm not sure who his guests are, but I'm sure they're absolutely fantastic. Freddie says, so I listened to Hegseth's entire speech, and as a former Navy vet, don't disagree with him fundamentally about training, but how does he assure that some of the things that made change necessary don't bubble up once again? Great show as always. Thank you, Freddie. I think it's about finding that balance, right? And there have been some really bad things that have happened over the years with some really loose regulations or oversight. But you go too far the other way and you end up with what we've had here these last few years with generals in dog masks.
It's a course correction, right? 8:59, Jeff Poor is on the way.